podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Good evening, everyone. Let me greet you a happy new year, and I'm trusting and believing that your celebrations have been good. For those of you who are joining us for the first time as a church, we've been journeying through the book of Genesis. We have now been on our first year, and in the first year, it took us 1 year to go through Genesis 1 to 10. We are now in Genesis 11, and the way I see it, we're going to be in Genesis for another 2 years. So if you've ever wondered how rich and how amazing the Bible is, that's how amazing it is. In fact, I dare say that the Bible, as ancient as it has been written, has relevance and application to your life here today. We've been journeying through Genesis 11, and we've been studying the story of the Tower of Babel. When I was preaching this in the Vivo service, I was talking about building well, referencing the verse where it says, if as one people, speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, nothing they plan to do would be impossible for them. That verse, in a negative way, was saying that if as one people, if people lived in agreement, speaking the same language and can communicate properly, then nothing they plan, and if they have a good plan, God says nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Now, having said that, we know the story, and if you were here last week, Pastor Steve did tell us that there is God's will, and if we're not doing it God's will, at some point God will disperse us, and God will scatter us, and God will not allow us to build that which we are planning to build. When I was speaking about this at the beginning of the year, I talked about the idea of what are you building? And I talked about agreement. And the Bible says that they moved together and they just not settled together or stayed together. They thought together, worked together, and at that point created technologies. Out of mud, they were able to form bricks, and out of bitumen, they were able to form mortar, the glue that they were now ready to build a city. Further, I talked about communication, and in order to get people to do something together, you have to have the ability to convince people, why are we building this thing? And finally, I talked about the plan. How are you going to build? Today, more than just the how of this, I want to reference when you study the Bible, particularly the Old Testament, the punctuations, the highlights, the typographies are not there. In which case, the Bible uses a manner of writing to allow you to understand what it's really highlighting for you. In the book of Genesis chapter 11, verse 10, we find these words, this is the account of Shem's family line. The previous chapter, Genesis chapter 10, verse 1 says, this is the account of the children of Noah, or rather the sons of Noah, and it outlines all the different sons. And notice, this is the account, and in those days, there were no chapters when this manuscript was originally written. Now, as you went down chapter 11, down in the verses further, looking at verse 27, it now then says, this is the account of Terah's family line. I want you to understand this. This is the account of the sons of Noah, which were all the nations of the world came out from. A few verses later, it says, this is the account of Shem's family line, one of the sons of Noah, and finally it goes into one particular family. This is the account of Terah's family line. When the Bible says that, it's setting you up to understand something. Now notice that in between these accounts, there is this idea of nations that were migrating. In Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, we find the words, now the whole world had one language and a common speech. And as people moved, that word moved is the word journeyed together. The word nasa, the Hebrew word, which means they journeyed together with the intent of settling somewhere. And that word is the word yeshab. In other words, they were migrating. Migration means you're lifting yourself up from somewhere, moving somewhere in order to settle in that place permanently. The world was moving in this particular place in Shinar, and they decide to settle there. Now, notice this is Genesis chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. Down in verse 31, it says, Terah, this time, from the line of Abraham, took his son Abraham, his grandson Lot, his son of Haran, his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abraham. And then it says, And together they set out. That word setting out is the word yatsa, which means they broke out of this migration. There was this migration of people that went to Shinar. They were scattered by God. And now this family, this line of Shem, breaks out and begins to journey separately from the whole pack. But when they came to Haran, it says, once again we find the word yashad, which means they settled. Migration. That's what I want to talk to you about today, is really three stories of migration that we find in Genesis 11. Finally, we see the third migration in between these accounts, which is the migration of Abraham. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country. That's what the migration is. You're uprooting yourself from your country, your people, not just your country, but your people group, and your father's household to a land that I will show you. Migration. It's very often found in Scripture, actually. When you look at the Bible, the Israelites migrated to Egypt. When God wanted to move them out of Egypt into the promised land, they uprooted them out of Egypt and moved them. When you look at the entire Scripture is filled with migration. In fact, the entire world is all about migration. If you are working or living in Singapore, this entire island is all about migration. I was just at the Chinese Museum in Chinatown. And when you look at the history of this nation was a land of migration. It's worth talking about this idea. The 1828 Dictionary of Noah Webster talks about the word migration and says the act of removing from one kingdom or state to another for the purpose of permanent residence or residence of some continuance. Now, as we've read the verses, it's interesting that it is clear why these people were building a tower. It was clear that they were building a city, and the Bible says they did that because they wanted to make a name for themselves, and secondly, they didn't want to be dispersed. Now, it tells us why they wanted to build the city, which is what Pastor Steve talked about last week. However, it doesn't tell us why they migrated. It is also clear from the verses we've read the reason for the migration of Abraham, but it doesn't tell us why the people of Shinar, or the people of Shem, and the people of Ham migrated, or for that matter, even Terah. Now, I want to go through really historical reasons and practical reasons why people migrate. There are three, in general terms, reasons why people migrate. The first one is environmental. People leave where they are because for environmental reasons, they can no longer stay there. The second reason is socio-political. There are social and political issues that require them to uproot themselves from that land and migrate somewhere. And finally, the most obvious one, which we find very common these days, is economic. I want to give you some of the examples of this. For instance, a natural disaster might cause people in places like China or even the country, my country of the Philippines, cause people to migrate from a certain section of their nation to another part of the nation, for that matter, another nation because of natural disaster. And that lends to our story here because right after the flood, it's very possible that the people of Shinar migrated because of this great disaster. Now, the other reason might be climate. And it's very possible that because of this huge mega flood, the climate has changed. The other reason why people migrate is probably because of instability or, for that matter, violence and war. These are reasons why people migrate or move out of a particular nation. The other reason is socio-political. For instance, if you were Filipino or if you were American and you married someone who's Singaporean, at some point you're going to move or migrate or she's going to migrate somewhere, but you're going to have to change the way you're doing life for social issues. And then you've got the political issues, the religious, the ideological, the political, the racial reasons for moving. If you study history and study the Bible, you'll find this all over the place, this idea of movement and migration. But I was in Turkey a few years ago, and I was at the museums there and looking at the Ottoman Empire and the amazing migration and movement, tens of millions of people because of racial tension, because of religious tension, because of political issues. You think about India and Pakistan after Great Britain caused the division between Pakistan and India, and tens of millions of people were split and migrations happened. You think about the Jews leaving Europe because of after World War II and the disaster. An entire nation was built because of migration. Migration is an important discussion for those of us who are believers of God, because God does use these things. And spiritually, it is something that we need to talk about. And finally, the idea of economic. People move for economic reasons, for job or for business opportunities, or simply just to escape poverty. These are the general reasons for migration. These would be the voices that the people who migrated to Shinar may have heard. These may be the voices that Terah may have heard, that he needed to move because the climate wasn't stable, that there was violence coming up, there was war coming up, there was family issues. These were not the voices that Abraham heard. Abraham migrated because he heard the voice of God. And I submit to you today, as you, I don't know if I should say start the new year, because to some of us, we've already started the new year in January, but some of you who are celebrating Chinese New Year, as you enter this year, that you would learn not to just to hear the voices as you move forward in this year, but to learn to hear the voice of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, talks about Abraham. When called to go to a place he would later receive as inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. This is a migration of a very different kind. A spiritual migration that was not caused by economic reasons, environmental reasons, social political reasons, but because he heard the voice of God. That's what I am, in a way, exhorting you, challenging you, that as you go through and move forward in this year as migrants, all of us, coming into Singapore, coming through the year as you get older like me, amen? I'm going to turn 61 this year. And I need to be sure I'm not just following environmental voices. I need to make sure I'm not just following social voices, political voices, or for that matter, economic voices. I need to make sure I'm hearing the voice of God. That as I move forward in this year, that I'm building properly. A place, when called, he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went. Now, I've got three questions, the heart of this message, really, to ask you these three questions. One, whose voice are you obeying this year? Is it the economic voice? The social voice, some of you, the voice that you only receive from is the social voice of Instagram and Facebook these days. Is it the political voice? Or is it just the environment around you? Just the people that surround you? Or is it God's voice? Hearing God's voice this year is so important if you're going to see your year progress. Notice where it says, he would later receive us in the inheritance, obeyed and went. Obedience comes when we hear the voice of God. I had a very interesting small group meeting about 2 weeks ago. There's a young gentleman who has only been with the Lord for about a month. I think even less than that. And he was so giddy in our small group that he wanted to share, because apparently for the first time he actually heard God. And some of you, you're probably saying, yeah, I want to hear God, but how do you really hear God? And it was interesting when he was sharing this with us, his name was Alex. And Alex was obviously a young believer, and he said, you know, I want to tell you a story. He said, I think I heard God. And I said, okay, so Alex, can you tell us all about it? And he said, well, I was so stressed. I've had all these problems. I've had all these things that I'm working on. And all of a sudden, I'm praying that I won't get stressed. And I heard this voice on the inside of me, and the voice said, I will never leave you. And I wasn't sure. How many of you have ever had this situation where you're not sure if you heard God or you heard yourself? And that's exactly what he said. I wasn't sure if I heard God or I heard myself. Here's the interface of God and technology. He went into Google and typed, I will never leave you. And how many of you know when you type Google, it kind of finishes the sentence for you? I will never leave you, he said, and I'll never forsake you. And he clicked it and he said, that's the Bible, I heard God. Many of you don't hear God because you're either too distracted or too busy listening to other voices. Or probably you haven't spent as much time reading the Word. I want to sit here for a while just to talk to you about, because this is important. You can hear God. In fact, you can hear God every day, every moment of your life, if you will listen. If you will listen closely and you know the word, at 60, you can't help but feel things. You know, when I was younger, I could run, I could do things. Now, no matter what I do, I feel things. Amen? But you know, the good thing is I can hear God. And when I'm in some kind of whatever, feeling, nausea, pain, etc., tiredness, I'll pray. I'll generally pray in the spirit and say, Rabaka shokoro boko tiba. Haka samakato. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Would you speak to me? And generally, I'll hear the word because I know the word. He will say something like this, I love you, Joey. And I will never leave you nor forsake you. Forget not all my benefits, for I've forgiven all your sins and I heal all your diseases. Joey, no one who dwells in Zion shall be ill. And for some amazing reason, every time I hear God's voice, the pain disappears. For some amazing reason, when I'm worried and I'm worried about my sons, my son is in the United States right now, my other son just flew in today for business, and my grandchildren are all over the place. For some reason, when I pray and I hear the voice of God, I know He's in charge and things are going to go well. My prayer for you this year is that you will tune your ears not to the voices that you hear, not to the voice of just economics, not just to the voices of the environment, not just about social, political voices, but the voice of God. When I think of migration, I think about this story. This was the 1600s in Great Britain. You may not be aware of this, but in the 1600s, Great Britain was experiencing civil wars. A lot of us know the American Civil War, all kinds of civil wars. No, very little is known about the civil wars of England. And during the civil wars of England, the different battles, there were religious persecution, there were political persecution, all kinds of persecution. And at the end of all this turmoil, a young man was born. His name was William Penn. He was the son of what would be considered a multimillionaire these days, a land developer. His father was known as Sir William Penn, who was an admiral in the king's court. His father was very wealthy. He was landed in England as well as in Ireland. He was very close to the king. But William Penn decided that he was not just going to do what his father wanted, but he was going to do what God wanted. And he would hear the voice of the Lord. And at one point in history, he wrote a little book called Sandy Foundation Shaken. And the book was really an attack at the religious order of the day and saying it's corrupt. And that the king's court was corrupt. And all of this was not right. It was speaking about the idea of a revival of the spirit. Warned by the voices of his father, society was saying, you're going to lose your mantle, you're going to lose your place in society, you need to renounce all of this craziness and all this religiosity, and you need to come back and get out of prison. He said, no. Instead, he wrote a second book. And the second book was known as No Cross, No King. Basically, he's defying all of that, saying, no, there's only one king. William Penn stayed in jail, believing the voice of God, and became one of the first people to espouse the idea of human rights for an individual. This is back in the day when there were no such things as human rights. Through a series of amazing events, William Penn found himself released from prison. And at this point, the King of England was deep in debt from his father. And the only way out was for him to be paid by this huge, amazing piece of land in the new Americas. He was then awarded a colony in the New Americas, and he moved there. William Penn now began to start what is now known as the colony of Pennsylvania, now the state of Pennsylvania. William Penn wrote literally one of the first constitutions of a state. Freedom for men. Migration from all over the world for religious freedom came into Pennsylvania, which is now known as the place of the Liberty Bell, where freedom is. And the charters, the people who wrote the U.S. Constitution, said the framework of this original Constitution was the basis of what has become what the nation is. It's funny how when you hear the voice of God and you obey God, it kind of solves the environmental, the socio-political, and at some level, even the economic problems of your life. Now, it says in Hebrews 11:8 that he would later receive on his inheritance, obey them, even though he did not know where he was going. Sometimes the good thing about following God is you're not very sure about where you're going, but if you just obey and listen, interestingly, it says he would later receive his inheritance. If you ever find yourself in Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania is known for a few things. First one is Hershey's chocolate. Amen? So if you love kisses, go to Pennsylvania. It's also known for Crayola. If you ever go to Pennsylvania, they make billions of crayons there. But it's also known for a little tower at the Capitol, where a man named William Penn stands in honor and recognition of freedom. Sometimes the decisions you make today will not have an impact right this moment. And sometimes when your only voice that you hear is what you hear from the environment, from the social circles that we have, from the limited view, from the economic view, rather than from the voice of God, we miss the mark where God's taking us, migrating us into. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this. How do you go to a city even though you don't know where it's going? It's being confident of this, knowing that it was God who said it to you, and he who began a good work in you will carry it into completion. Faith is not just religious. Faith is not just coming to church, and faith is not just paying a tithe. And by the way, thank you for expressing the tithe. I've been tithing now for over 33 years, and I wish I did it even earlier, because I acknowledge and know fully well that when you obey the word of God and listen to God and do his will, life gets good. And every time we reason away from God, we're in trouble. When Pastor Steve was in town, I brought him to Chinatown. I gave him a tour of a little museum. We walked together, and I said, I want you to show you this because it's a little bit of a glimpse of the history of the nation of Singapore. We looked at the Singapore back in the British Empire days. This was a trading port. And the original, what they call overseas workers, were not Filipinos, were not Indonesians or Myanmarese. They were actually Chinese. They were called coolies. It was bitter labor, hard labor. Hundreds of thousands of them came here for reasons of environment, climate change, natural disasters, wars, and civil wars in China at the time. A lot of them moved here because of social pressure, and a lot of them moved here for economic reasons. Tens and tens, if not hundreds of thousands of them, perished here for migrating for the wrong reasons. In fact, if you go to that museum, it will tell you that many of them were paying one-third of their money for opium because it was the only way they could contain the degradation of life, the desperation, the loneliness, the bodily pain. Sometimes, when we work our lives through thinking that we've got it figured out on the basis of just the environment, of just the social and political things and the economics rather than the voice of God, we end up in the wrong places. As I try and close, Hebrews 11:9 says, by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents as Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs of him of the same promise. Two words, one word is used here twice. It's the word promise. And that leads me to my second question for you. Not only is whose voice will you be listening to today and obeying this year? Whose promises are you going to trust? Your boss? Your supervisor? Your friends? Or would you trust the promises of God? What are the promises of God that he has promised you through the years? Are you still reviewing them? My wife and I were listening to a prophecy given to us many years ago. And we're saying, that's the one that hasn't happened yet. And we're looking forward for that prophecy to happen. Listening to the voice of God and saying, I'm going to trust your promises. Not just the promises of people to me, but your promises to me. As I close, one final question. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. And one final question for you is, what are you looking forward to this year? Not just whose voice are you listening to? Not just whose promise are you trusting? What are you looking forward to? For many people, it's just a better environment. For many people, it's just better social things and just better places. And for even many more people, it's just greater financial prosperity. I dare say that if you get to the place where you're looking forward to the city with foundations and migrate to the city whose architect and builder is God, kind of find your way where the environment works. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding guards your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Marriage works. The children work. The health works. The social, the political, and even the financial, economic thing works. As you sit there this evening, I want to leave you with these three questions. And before you rush out, which is typically what happens, we sleep here, right? Amen? And then we go out and forget. I want to ask you to close your eyes. Just close your eyes for a little bit and bow your heads. And just think about these three questions. Whose voice are you obeying this year? How much time are you really going to be investing this year to hear the voice of God? In prayer, to wait on Him, to trust Him. Whose promises are you going to trust this year? I've found that the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And I found that His promises are beyond amazing. But as you're sitting there this evening, consider these questions. Whose promises am I trusting this year? And finally, what are you really looking forward to this year? I want to ask the worship team to come up. And I want us to end with just a song of worship. And just dedicate the rest of this evening. How many of you excited for 2018? You don't seem like you're excited. Here's the reason why you can be excited. God loves you. God cares about you. God wants to bless you. God wants you to enter into a city with an architect and builder, with foundations that are on Him. And this year, and listen, here's the good part about God. He's really not asking you to build this. Here's the secret. Just admit you're weak. Amen? Just admit I can't do it. Just admit I don't have it all together. That's the secret. The secret is, God, I don't have it all together. But I have you. And I'm coming to you tonight, consecrating myself once more, trusting you that this is the year of your favor in my life. Amen? Would you stand on your feet as we worship Him? We'll close in prayer. we were worshiping, I felt like the Lord just wanted me to share two stories with you. The first story happened this morning. There was a lady who came to my wife, and she was announcing to my wife that she was leaving Singapore because she had just lost her job. And through the last few months that I've been living here, many times when people come and say that, they're actually weeping. This is the first time I've actually seen somebody so excited that she lost her job. I kid you not. And then she began to tell her story. And she said, because I just transferred jobs, and that when I left that job, I got this windmill, or this big windfall of cash. And then this company got bought, another windfall of cash. And now I'm going home, and I know that God's behind it. When you hear God, that you know that you know that you know, and who knows, she might be back here 3 months again with other windfall. Sometimes when we have already preset our minds about how God's going to play it, and God's got Pennsylvania in mind, amen, we're locked in rather than letting Him speak to us. My prayer is that you would be open in your hearts and in your minds. The second story is my story. I had a job in Manila. I was a pastor of a church. I didn't have to move here. In fact, I had no plans of moving here. But the Lord called me here. I was pastoring a church of 17,000 people. I had a beautiful office. Now I have a side office here somewhere. I don't even have a calling card. But there's one thing I'm sure of. I heard God. And I know that if I've heard God, all things will come together for my good. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind could have conceived Pennsylvania. For those that are prepared, for those that have been prepared, for those that have learned to hear His voice, to trust His promises, to look forward for what He has for you. Amen? Would you just lay hands in your hearts this evening? God, seal this truth in our hearts. Let not the voices and the winds of environment, society, politics, or for that matter, even economics, be the first voices we hear. May we first and foremost hear You each and every day of our lives. Bless Your people with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Lift them up, Lord, to be seated. Let them know, even tonight, they are sons and daughters of the King, the living God, and they sit in heavenly places, able to see the past, the present, and even glimpses of the future. Be it done according to Your will and by the power of Your word in the Holy Spirit, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Enjoy 2018. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.